Good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. We are happy that you're with us this morning. We really are, because we weren't quite sure we'd be here this morning. But guess what? We are. We're back in our studio. If you're watching, do we have the socials up, Ethan?
We're working on it.
We're working on it. So we don't yet?
I just got to go live.
Okay. All right. Good. So we're working on that, getting the socials up this morning. You won't notice a whole lot of difference. A couple of the shots are a little wider, but we are back in our original studio. Now, some people might be conspiracy theorists and claim that Kim St. Ange knew what a nightmare last week was going to be, so she just took the week off. But she's back. We're glad you're back, Kim.
Thank you. I timed it perfectly.
You did time it perfectly. You didn't have to deal with Studio C at all. And you're back. It's like being back at home, right?
One of the best vacations is when you feel like you've been off for a very long time. I'm driving to work and I'm like, gosh, it feels like forever since
good.
I made this drive. Yeah,
so you got some rest?
I got a lot of rest. I got a lot of family time. We took our son to the aquarium and the zoo and we went up in the wheel. He loves Ferris wheels. It was a really, really good, restful week.
Well, good. Glad to hear that. This morning, it is raining. It was raining fairly steadily a bit earlier, so I imagine the roads are going to be a mess this morning. Sue Thomas will be with us in a few minutes. She's going to have any traffic delays that tried to slow you down. And, of course, we got lots to get to for today. Hans is on in the next hour. There's a big Supreme Court decision down in Texas or Arizona we need to talk about. I've got State Representative Jim Murphy joining me. He just got back from the border with a bunch of other Missouri state representatives to kind of see what's going on down there. We'll get to him. And, of course, we're going to discuss this St. Louis police officer who lost his life in the line of duty this weekend, as you heard Kim report, at the hands of an illegal alien. This should never have happened. This guy's been in trouble before. Why was he not removed from the country the first time this happened? These are questions that need to be asked, and we're going to get to all that for you coming up here in just a minute. But, Ethan, let's get to the top stories, please.
Yep.
All right.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Time. Do you see yourself running again in 4 years?
No, I don't.
Wow, that was short and sweet and to the point. Donald Trump says you got one last chance to fix the country and then I'm out. Now, he said he feels confident he's going to win, but right now he has no plans on running again next time around.
What do they see in Donald Trump that makes them want to vote for him?
I know some people that are like, I personally think he's a terrible person or I'm appalled by some of these things, but I fundamentally think that, you know, I'll still vote for him.
Huh. I don't know if Fetterman's saying he's going to vote for him or if he thinks Pennsylvanians are going to vote for him, even though they see him as a fundamentally flawed person who at least understands how the economy works.
Kamala Harris has never run a lemonade stand. She's actually never run a business. Donald Trump has.
Yeah, Joe Concha there commenting on the fact that Kamala Harris has never really run anything much bigger than probably the attorney general's office in the state of California. So she had, what, 100 employees? I mean, that's it. And you're talking about handing her the reins of the federal government. This would be a disaster.
According to court records, the 24-year-old is currently on probation for a previous domestic assault and DWI charge in St. Charles County. Those same court records say police say that he was living in the country illegally at the time of his last arrest.
Yeah, that was Channel 4 reporting here. He's this guy who killed Officer David Lee. I got a few details on how this went down yesterday from a couple of different police sources. He was responding to a car accident or that had broken down on the side of the road between Adelaide and Grand on I-70. He's a traffic officer. This is what he does. And he went to set some cones out. And along comes a drunk, illegal alien from Honduras who admitted that he was knee-deep in beer, basically admitted it to the officers at the scene, from what we're hearing, refused to take a sobriety test. They had to take him and get a blood draw which will prove how deep in the sauce he was.
Keep in mind, this is at 8:30 a.m. on Sunday, and this guy is absolutely tanked.
Before 9 in the morning, he was completely hammered. A 45-year-old illegal alien from Honduras. Now, didn't your report say he'd been arrested before?
Well, he's 24, the driver, I believe. The officer is 44.
The driver is 45.
Why did
I think?
I thought I saw he was 24. Anyway, according to KMOV, he's 24. It sounds like there's a lot of details that could be messed up even when you look at different websites. But, so it said the DWI and the domestic assault charge, and that was from St. Charles County. And that was when I guess they were saying, when he was arrested then, they realized he was living in the country illegally. So to your point, why was he not sent back? I mean,
probably because of the Harris-Biden administration and their approach toward deportation of illegal aliens.
Newcomers.
I'm sorry. How could I forget the new politically correct term for them? That's pathetic. I mean, questions need to be asked. Number one, was the case referred to ICE when he was caught the first time? My guess is it probably is automatically, but ICE just ignored it because they've got so many other things going on, like babysitting at the southern border, that they didn't have time to deal with it per. And I'm not saying that about the officers down there. They're being ordered to do this by this administration, by the woman who wants to take charge of the United States of America. Can you imagine how much worse the border will be? This is the very real impact and consequence of allowing people who aren't serious people to be in charge of the country. A friend of mine sent me a picture this weekend, Kim, from a government auction website. The federal government is auctioning off, with bids starting at $5, for what's left of Donald Trump's border wall along the border. The federal government is auctioning off the steel that they didn't use to build the border wall, even though Kamala Harris claims she would be in support of building the border wall now, she claims, if she got elected.
But remember, even a handful of months ago, Joe Biden came out and said, well, because Congress passed, and I forget even what it was, but because they did this, I now have to finish the wall. He acted like he was forced to do it. Do you remember that? Nothing?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, he claimed there was contracts were agreed to, and there was a small portion of it that contractually he had to finish.
Right, which did he ever really do
that? I don't know if he did.
I doubt
not.
He did.
I doubt it.
A whole lot of nothing.
It gets back to my point that these are not serious people. They don't understand what's going on. They have ulterior motives. If you didn't have an ulterior motive of hoping to harvest votes from illegal aliens, why would you not support the SAVE Act, which they refuse to vote on, that says illegals are not allowed to vote in elections, and you have to prove that you're a legal citizen to even register to vote? That's basic common sense. When employers employ somebody, they have to go through E-Verify to verify that they're a United States citizen before they employ them. But we won't do the same thing for the voter rolls. I know it's a little off the subject here, but the point is, these are not serious people. Serious people would absolutely take issue with that. They would want the border to be closed. They would want people to avoid tragedies like we saw this weekend, to be deported if indeed they had been arrested by the police and the police realized they were here illegally, they would be on the next bus to the southern border and pushed back through the gate. But we're not dealing with serious people. And it's why the results of this election in November are going to be so key. That just they really are. And now now we're facing a situation where we're 45 days out from an election, and you've got Rasmussen polling still shows Donald Trump's in really good shape in a lot of these states. Now there's a debate in Nebraska. We're going to talk about that in a little while. They may switch the rules so that one electoral vote that always goes to the Democrats doesn't this time. They had a chance to do this once before in the legislature, and they decided not to. Now they're readdressing it, and the Democrats are hot. The media's hot.
I remember them talking about this, and they're freaking out.
They're rightfully so. Freaky outy. Yeah.
And, have you developed new language since I've been gone, Mark?
I have.
Am I in store for some surprises today?
You might be in store for some surprises from me and from our new audio board. We'll find out, won't we, Ethan?
I am not in a good mood already.
Carl picked today to take off, and you know why? He wasn't shy about it. Carl Middleman is not here today.
Star Wars convention?
Nope. Pitbull concert.
Oh, Mr. Worldwide. Gosh. Late last night?
It was last night, and he was going to pregame and then party all night long like he was back in the 2000s, early 2000s, and he knew he would not. He would probably still be up when we went on the air this month. I'm sure he's not awake right now, but still.
Well, he was on camera when he went to the Jumbotron, when he went to the Cardinals game, right? When Pitbull came on and he was mouthing fireball.
I'm sure. But that's why Ethan is stuck with whatever technical nightmare might face us during this broadcast. Right now, we're going to get to a break, I hope, with this morning's national anthem. Carl made a threat before he left on Friday. I noticed, Ethan, that he was going to have you play a lot of Pitbull this morning. And I told you that I have music right here on my computer, and we can circumvent that. So maybe we'll do that into the next break. We will go around Carl Middleman this morning, who's sound asleep. He's paws up.
I will just say, Mark, that's the only Pitbull song you got today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just the one?
Just the one.
All right, just checking.
He was joking with you.
All right. Yeah, he's like, you told him. Why did you tell him? I heard that. All right, so let's talk about this Nebraska situation for a minute, Kim. The Republicans in Nebraska are thinking about changing the state's electoral vote allocation system. And what it would do is take away Kamala Harris's chance to win one of the state's five votes. Currently, the way they do it is based on the congressional district. Whoever wins each congressional district gets that electoral vote. So you can it's always goes down the same way. Four go to Republicans and one goes to the Democrats. So out of every election, Nebraska gives four electoral votes to Republicans and one to the Democrat candidate, because they always win their version of St. Louis. They always win Omaha.
Omaha, yeah.
Yeah. So now they might change. They talked about doing this once before and they didn't do it. Now, supposedly that it could alter the electoral map, forcing Harris to carry another state in order to win the presidency. But what you're looking there at is what they're suggesting is she could only get to 269 and she wouldn't get to 270 if they took away that one vote. She'd have to win a different state. Isn't it wild that if things are that close in the U.S. right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's scary, which is why you see the Oprah Winfreys going out there and doing everything they possibly can to try to get Kamala Harris elected, because they know this is razor thin, way thinner of a margin than I feel comfortable with.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that. But Lindsey Graham was talking about it this weekend with Kirsten Welker, and she did not like what he had to say about it, because he said, listen, the Democrats are mad about this, but they're the ones that just put a nominee in who didn't get a single vote. They completely circumvented the Democratic process. Listen.
Given what you're saying, though, if she's not good on these issues, why do you need to change the rules in Nebraska?
I think Nebraska has been talking about this for years. It is a very close election. 63 days ago, Chuck Schumer led a coup to overthrow Joe Biden, and he's telling me or any other Republican what we should be doing. If they change the law in Nebraska, it won't be on the phone in the middle of the night. It will be through a Democratic process. The entire federal delegation of Nebraska, House members and two senators, want this change. To my friends in Nebraska, that one electoral vote could be the difference between Harris being president or not, and she's a disaster for Nebraska and the world.
Yep, I think he's absolutely right. Let's putting a little prayer for the legislators in Nebraska today. How about that? Whatever it takes. No kidding. Hey, coming up, we got Kim on a whim again. How about that? We'll be back in just a minute.
This is the Mark Cox Morning Show. Kim on a whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
You know, the new thing that a lot of high schoolers in particular, but I would even argue middle schoolers are doing, is they're vaping. And they pass all these regulations trying to make it more difficult. You remember the flavors they came out with that they said were too enticing, and then
sure.
The colors and the
bubble
design.
And,
right. All yeah. Cotton candy. I mean, the amount of flavors that are available in these e-cigs is wild. I mean, hundreds of flavors. And I know quite a few adults who still do this. And in fact, I talked to somebody this weekend. My husband and I were out at a winery, and this woman was saying how, you know, she was smoking cigarettes and she turned to vaping. So I'm not saying I'm knocking it, but I am sad to see how many young people are doing this. And I found something that just blew my mind. They've come out with these so-called smart vapes. They're not legal, but of course they're wildly available online. In fact, I Googled it for myself just out of curiosity. You can find them for $13.99, $15.99 online. And here's what they are. They have built-in games. You can connect to the internet. You can even access your pictures from your phone because it has Bluetooth capability. It is like a mini cell phone. Like, there's a little button that says slide to unlock, just like you would with your iPhone. That's what this e-cig vape thing has now.
What would the purpose be of that?
To
if
make
you can't
it,
talk
to,
on it.
To make it more... Well, here's what was weird. The guy was calling a number. He said, just for fun, let me dial 77777, and he hit call. And it was weird because they were saying something like, oh, that is not a correct number, but it was allowing him to call.
So it connects to the Bluetooth on your phone?
It connects to the Bluetooth on your phone. And so I guess I feel like kids, you know, the debate now with parents, and rightfully so, is what age do you get your kid a cell phone? What age do you get your kid a smartphone?
A vape.
Or I guess a vape in this case. So now I just envision kids who are not allowed to have a cell phone until maybe later. Their parents have cracked down on it. They take up vaping, and all of a sudden, you know, they have the ability to do all kinds of things. You can have apps on these vaping devices. It's like a little mini cell phone. It's wild.
You said they're not legal. What did you mean by that?
Well, you're not supposed to be able to access them, but of course they're coming from China, so they sell them online, and kids can still get them.
What, but I'm wondering what's illegal about it. I mean, vapes are able to be sold in the U.S. I don't know if they're supposed to be sold to people who are underage or not. What is the electronic aspect of it that makes it illegal? Does it say?
I've just read that they're, because it's so enticing to younger people, that they...
Like the flavors.
Not, right, just
okay.
Like the flavors.
No, okay.
Or the designs or anything like that.
I don't understand it. I do see people use, they promote, and I've had a guest on the show one time talking about this years ago. They promote, the people that run the vaping businesses promote it as a way to quit cigarettes. But a lot of people just get the nicotine, which is the bad stuff, from the vape.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference?
Right.
I mean, maybe you're not getting the tar and the other stuff from the cigarette. The addictive portion of it is still there. So you're not kicking the habit. So I guess I don't get that. And then you've got the people that you obviously use it to smoke stuff other than liquid.
Would you like to elaborate on that, Mark?
No.
Is this personal experience?
With
or?
The ones where you can get stoned.
No, absolutely.
I've been complaining about this. My kid has been out of high school for, oh boy, let me count the years now, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And back when he was in high school, he would tell me, Dad, everybody vapes. They bring it into class and they blow it down the sleeve of their shirt.
Oh my gosh.
When they exhale it, so the teacher doesn't see the steam cloud, the vapor cloud go up in the classroom.
Wouldn't you smell like a blueberry flavor suddenly in the classroom, or whatever other flavor they're trying
prove
to
prove it? I don't know. He said people have been sneaking these into class forever. It's everybody does it, he says.
See, that's wild to me. I think it'd be so wild to go back to high school and see what it's like. I actually don't know if I want to know. I think I'd go back. And I had an overall good high school experience. I don't have, you know, this mindset of like, oh, it was so terrible. I would never go back. But I would never want to be back in that. High school just seems rough.
It would have been a wildly different experience knowing what I know now. I was not prepared for high school.
But think about all the technology advances.
But knowing what I know now.
think about these teachers trying to combat cell phones and social media. And it's like, okay, well, if you can't have a cell phone, now you have smartwatches. So they can still do stuff with their smartwatch. And then now they have, I guess you're saying they're vaping during class, which
they've been doing it for
crazy
years
to me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It says
there's no discipline. There's no nothing.
No. Then that's the other problem. It says for vaping, 1.63 million students reportedly use the devices as of this year. That was according to the CDC, if you want to trust their numbers. 1.21 million in high school, but another 400,000 are only middle schoolers. If you're in middle school, are you, what, 10 to 12 years old and you're vaping?
Where did they get it?
Exactly. They're not going to Amazon or to these random sketchy websites and ordering it because how are they paying for it? Although I did hear a story about some toddler who snuck out of the in-home daycare or something, or daycare he was at, and walked to Walmart and went and found games or something like that.
A toddler?
It was a toddler, I'm telling you. I can't remember where it happened, but
he was probably stoned.
Maybe he was vaping. Maybe the toddlers are now vaping. I need to probably have this conversation with my 19-month-old son because he might consider taking up vaping.
Is going to take off one day?
He might. He sees those fancy colors and cotton candy flavored whatever. And
I ran away when I was about 3. I wasn't running. I was going to the local grocery store where they always gave me a lollipop when mom took me there. And they found me out on this busy highway. I'd crossed a busy street. And a carload of nuns found me.
Oh, my gosh.
It was wild. And this is before cell phones. So,
can we go to the payphone, please? Can we find the next call a taxi. Forget Uber.
Yeah, I mean, if you would run away at 3 for a lollipop, I'm sure you would run away at 3 to go get a video game at Walmart.
Don't you miss the lollipops they would hand out at the bank? Is that still a thing?
I think some of them do that. They certainly give out dog treats at some of the drive-thrus.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. But, it's wild. I mean, that's what a lot of these parents are having to combat these
days. I drove past a store the other day. It was somewhere in St. Charles County, and I couldn't tell you exactly where. I don't remember. But I remember it struck me because I saw the name of it. And the name of it was I Quit. And I assume the suggestion is I quit smoking, so I'm going to go get a vape. Like, I quit. And they're trying to sell vapes as an alternative to smoking. And I assume if it had no nicotine or any of the other bad stuff in it, maybe you could argue that. But one reason they seem to be concerned is that when you take in the flavored stuff, there's no regulation over how that stuff is made, is my understanding of it.
If you're using the vaping to try to quit cigarettes, wouldn't the logical decision be to make it taste terrible so that you are using it because you still like the motion of it? People say that is part of the addiction, but you don't like the taste of it, because how are you going to get someone to stop doing it if you're making all these delicious flavors that anybody would like?
Same logic.
Not just the kids.
As the stuff that they paint on your thumbnail to get you to quit sucking your thumb.
Oh, I sucked my thumb until I was, I won't even tell you how old I was. It was embarrassingly long, parents will tell you.
We have a mutual friend who told me one time that he sucked his thumb for so long, and his parents bought that stuff and put it on there, and he made himself learn to love the taste of it.
I thought it was clear nail polish,
no,
I thought.
No, I thought it was that nasty stuff they put on there to get you to quit sucking your thumb.
I don't know. My parents used Beanie Babies.
If he's listening this morning, he's laughing out loud.
I hope he reaches out to you. I would get, if I could go like a week, I'd get a Beanie Baby. And then if I could go 2 weeks, I'd get a Beanie Baby. But
did you save all those Beanie Babies? Because they might be worth something someday.
Millions, Mark. Millions, I tell you. All in their boxes, the Princess Diana limited edition.
Oh, man. We kept Princess Barbies for many years. And until we ran out of space and When we finally realized they weren't worth anything, we just ripped them open and let the kid play with them.
I mean, yeah, the Beanie Babies were the biggest scam ever because we all thought they'd be worth something.
I still got my pet rock somewhere.
Did you get it off Facebook Marketplace?
Yeah.
Or?
No, no. It's
you found
original.
It in the yard? Wow.
It's original. They used to sell them in a box.
I sold rocks and water. Neighbors bought it.
Did you really?
And then my parents will, and then threw the rocks back in the yard as they walked away.
Uh-huh.
We'd find the pretty ones, you know?
I'm sure. All right. Well, you could. Hopefully they get this problem addressed. I don't know how they do it. I mean, if the kid is 12 years old and got their hand on a vape, they got it from an older sibling? Did they get it from, you know, a neighbor kid who was old enough to buy one? I don't know.
Well, go online and you can basically get a smartphone and vape at the same time.
Wow.
Welcome to 2024.
Shocking. Shocking information. Hey, you know what? Remember the earnings tax rebate? You are facing a deadline if you have not applied for that yet. And once the deadline is over, so goes your chance to potentially put thousands of dollars back in your pocket. Thousands of dollars. However much you paid in the earnings tax, if you were out of the office.
I was looking through my DMs on Instagram this week.
What is this?
And I realized that the main thing people probably ask me about is Gateway Metro Federal Credit Union.
Do you have any idea what we're listening to?
I'm not even going to complain about
that.
If you're going to slide.
Oh, that worked.
It'll be a trial and error today.
I think that was Hannah in the next studio, so we're going to have to look into that. Yeah. That's what I think just happened. Anyway. You're facing a deadline to potentially get thousands of dollars. So we're going to tell you how to do that before the deadline when we get back.
A clear view of the roads from the Window World Traffic Center.
Call Jerry Kelly at 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. and we'll get there fast. There's a reason Jerry Kelly has been your neighbor's favorite heating and cooling company for nearly two decades.
JerryKelly.com. They're fast and they're good and they got it going on. JerryKelly.com.
All right. Well, I'm glad I got out Saturday and got the yard mowed because of all this rain that has moved in. It gives you an opportunity when you're out there to kind of look around, take a look at the trees in your yard, the shrubs. It's your little piece of the earth. And you probably need Hanson's Tree Service because they're experts at it. They have certified arborists who can come over and deal with those things, and they're trained to do it. If you've trimmed a small branch on your yard, good for you. But when you start looking at some of the bigger ones that need to be removed, it is one of the most dangerous professions in America. It really is. And I love what Chad Hansen and the folks at Hansen's Tree Service do. This is prime time for the trimming and the pruning of your trees. Insect and disease stress drops when the weather changes and the cooler temperatures, which we're going to see some of that this week, right? Let them remove those hazardous limbs before the winter storms bring them down at your house. Just go online. When you get a hold of them, tell them you heard Mark Cox talking about it. Go to hansonstree.com.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
Yes, indeed. You know what a crap sandwich, you know the definition of a crap sandwich? For years in the city, if you spent time working outside of the city limits, you could apply for a refund at the end of the year to get some of your taxes back. COVID comes along. The city shuts down businesses everywhere, sending employees to work from home, and then changes the rules midstream because they realized how much revenue they would lose if they let everybody apply for a refund. So Beavis Shock and another attorney sued them, won, and the city, lo and behold, finally agreed that it would give you your money back that you are rightfully due if you applied. But there's a deadline. The deadline is September 30th of 2024. So you have 7 days from today to have that thing postmarked to Gregory FX Daily at the City of St. Louis. I'm just trying to give people fair warning here.
I wonder how much money that will end up totaling.
I can't imagine.
That they'll have to get back.
So,
I'm sure
I mean,
they're freaking out.
There are lots of people who, of course, were out for the entire year. Think about that. You know, like if you, let's say, for example, you paid $700 or $600 or $700 in earnings tax to the city, you'd be eligible for all of that back. for the years 2020 through 2024. If you were home for 2 years, you got a lot of money coming to you. That's a house payment, a car payment, I don't know, a new piece of jewelry that you've been looking for. Whatever it is, the city is holding your money, and you got to get busy and apply for it. It's pretty simple. It's math for dummies to fill this out, because I did it yesterday at my house. And all you need is a copy of your W-2 form from any of those given years. It asks you, what was your total income? How many days out of 260 did you not work in the city? And you have to, that's the thing you have to find out from your supervisor, is how many days you were officially work days you spent outside of the city limits. And then it has you do the math to figure out what that dollar amount would have been for your total income, how much money you earned when you were at home. Then you subtract that from your earnings for the entire year. And then based on that lower amount, you figure out what you would have earned, what you would have owed in earnings tax.
So some people might need to call their former employer and get this information from HR.
If you were formerly employed, it has to be signed off by the supervisor who was your supervisor when you weren't there. So I'll have to walk down the hall this morning and get Steve Moore to sign this for me before I mail it in.
Well, there could be some awkward conversations if they were like me and were let go from their job over the COVID mandate. Now, I lived in the city at that point, so I would be disqualified
because
I would have had to pay regardless. But yeah, that could be interesting. I know I'm not alone in that. I know nurses who lost their jobs.
They
would have been working at the hospital, but still, just a number of people who fall into that category.
Right. But the employer would have to sign it. Used to work there, you could walk back in and say, this is my tax return. I deserve some of the. Think of that. There are going to be people who are getting $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 yep, back from the city. If they sent you home and decided you could just work from home, guess what? You don't earn this. You don't owe the city earnings tax.
That's why I'm surprised Tashara Jones hasn't come out with a, you know, panicking message like, we're losing so much in tax revenue, we're gonna have to cut all these programs.
Remember, I've got the soundbite somewhere. She did come out and ask people to please consider what impact this was going to have on the city and consider not asking for your money back.
You know, I think she would do the same thing, right? Wouldn't we all, if we had thousands of dollars that the city owed us, that was our money to begin with, that makes total sense that, yeah, we would just say, you know what? You keep that money. You spend it so well. You help all the unhoused. You're doing all these fantastic things for the newcomers. Please, Tashara Jones, keep my thousands of dollars.
Please keep my however much. I don't know. I'm going to
plant more shrubs because that's what's going to attract more businesses, right? The new shrubs that you plant on the corner, not the fact that the city is terribly unsafe and your ridiculous 1% earnings tax that makes no business want to invest here. Shall I go on?
I wonder if you could ask that it be redirected to the reparations fund. What do you think?
That's a fantastic idea. They'd finally get another dollar. They've been stuck at what, $1,200 for the last 3 years since they started that?
Since it was voluntary only about $1,200 was donated to the reparations
fund. You know what it probably was? It was probably city employees. They got an email like, hey, if you're willing to chip in like $5, we're going to give you like an extra vacation day. So it's probably all the city staff members who were like, fine, for the day off, I'll go ahead and contribute to make it look like people care.
You can Google this information. If you just Google St. Louis earnings tax refund, you'll find it. But like the National Taxpayer Union, NTU.org, they've got a link to the form. And then you can also Google it, and the city of St. Louis has a link to the form. It's Form E1R, calendar year, and you put in the calendar year. And then you do the math, and it's pretty simple. As long as you have your W-2, you can get it done. Go get your money. Don't let the city keep your money. That's dumb. And you have until the 30th to request it back, and you go spend that check happily. Donate it to Donald Trump or something, just to piss them off. You know what I'm saying? Coming up, we're going to get to our friend Hans von Spakovsky. There was a big election ruling out in Arizona. We'll talk about that when we come back.